Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Gemara Baba Kama Daf Mem Zayin. We begin already almost two-thirds of the way down with the Mishnah at the bottom of Mem Zayin Mud Aleph. We continue to learn for the safety of all the Chayalim and the Kolchos HaBitachon, all the Shotrim, all the EMTs, everybody's putting their life online for Klal Yisrael. May they all be successful. May they bring back the hostages safely and in good health, b'mheira, and anyone in need of refuah shleima, all those in need of nechama, HaKadosh Baruch should be merachem, HaKadosh Baruch should be menachem. The Mishnah begins, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, towards the bottom. HaKador shehichlis k'dei rosov l'chatzar bal habayis, shelo b'rishos. We had this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta, and we remind ourselves that a kador is a person who makes pots. So this potter who brings his pots, his k'dei rosov, into the chotzer of someone else, into the chotzer of the nizak, without permission, shelo b'rishos. And the shovra behemto shel bal habayis, the Balabais, who has permission to keep his animals there, his animals go and break those pots. The shavra behemto shel balabais. So, what is the din? Potter, the owner of that house, the owner of that field, the balabais, is potter to pay the kador for any pots that were broken, because he had no right to bring them into rishus of the person who owned that house. And therefore, his animal is allowed to roam there, his animal is allowed to go and walk there, and he breaks the pots. That's it. Tough luck on the kador. If in fact the animal gets hurt from those pots, when he breaks the pots, he hurts himself. It is actually Bala Kederus Chayev. The person who put the pots there without permission is going to be liable. He's going to be Chayev to go pay for any damages that his pots caused to the animal. However, but if the Kador had permission to go put his pots over there, in that situation, now the Bala Chotzer is Chayev. The Bala Chotzer now is going to be Chayev for the destruction of those pots because he was given permission to go and put those pots there. Tomorrow we'll discuss exactly what we're dealing with when we say that he's chayev. What is he chayev for? Now, we're going to have two other cases that are very similar to the Reisha. Tosos is going to explain in the bottom Tosos, HaKador, that each of them has a din that the other one didn't have, and therefore each is necessary. The first case is dealing with pots, which, as the bottom Tosos says, no chosli shaver, are very, very easy to break. The second case will be with fruits, which are something that can easily spoil. And the third case will be with behema, that's a sturdy thing. So therefore, each one brings a chiddush that the other one didn't have. And that is why we need three cases that sound very, very similar. So the second case is hichnis peirosov, l'chatzar balabai shlobershos. A person brings his fruits into someone else's yard, into someone else's house without permission. And an animal of achaloson behemto shobalabais, and the animal of the owner of that house or that field goes and eats those fruit. So, the balabais doesn't have to pay anything. The person brought those fruits there without permission. Of course, his animal is going to go and eat them. And therefore, there is no responsibility on the bal habayis to go and pay for those fruits that were brought there without permission. And in fact, the animal is hurt by those fruits. Now, there's two possibilities the Gemara is going to tell us. One, you might think that if he ate those fruits and got hurt by eating them, or alternatively, if he slipped on those fruits. So we'll discuss this more in the Gemara. If the animal actually was hurt by those peros, so then it's the Bala Peres' responsibility, Bala Peres' chayev, to go and pay the damages that he caused with his fruits to the animal. We'll see that there's two different opinions that I just mentioned. One opinion would be Rav's opinion that says, not for eating them, it's only for slipping on them, because the owner of the peres could say to the owner of the animal, hey, you should have made your animal not eat them. The slipping on it, that's not something that the owner could have control for, but the eating of them should have told your animal not to go and eat them. We'll see this more in discussion in the Gemara. So the Bala Peres is chayev for the damage that was done to the animal under certain situations. However, if the Bala Peros im hichlis b'rishus, he had permission to go bring them there, so then Bala Chotzer is chayev. In that situation, the Bala Chotzer is chayev. Again, we'll have to discuss what exactly does it mean that he's chayev. Chayev for what? Now, third case is very similar as well. Hichlis shoro l'chatzar balabais. Again, a person brought his animal, his shor, into the chotzer of the balabais. Shelo, and we turn to Memzayin Mabez, shelo b'rishus, again, without permission. And now, unegocho shoro shel balabais. The balabais is a shor there. He's not happy that there's another shard there, and the balabais shard goes and gores this shard that was there without permission. Or alternatively, oshen shacho kalbo shel balabais, or the dog of the balabais went and bit that ox. Now, that's an unusual thing, and that's why the Melech Shlomo brings down that's why it gives us two cases over here. Either the ox of the Baal HaBayis went and gored this ox that was there without permission, or even in a very unusual case where the dog of the Baal HaBayis went and bit and hurt and damaged the shore that didn't have any rights to be there. In both of these scenarios, potter. The Mishnah tells us potter, again, because the guy had no rishus to go bring his animal into the Baal HaBayis of the other person, into the house of the other person. And therefore, potter, the person who owns that house, even though his ox gored the other ox or his dog bit the other ox, nevertheless, since the other ox had no right to be there, so there is no damages that he's chayav for. The Baal HaBayis doesn't have to pay anything. Potter. And in fact, if Nogach, who, Shor Rosh HaBaal HaBayis, if this shor that had no right to be there, gored the Baal HaBayis' shor, so then chayav, then the owner of the shor that didn't have any right to be there, is going to be chayav to pay for the damages of his shor to the shor of the Baal HaBayis. Similarly, Nofal Liboro V'hivish Meimav, if this ox that had no right to be there fell into a well, Liboro, into a pit, which was containing water, which the Baal HaBayis needed to have drinking water. They didn't have running water. They used to have water that came in during the rainy season, and they would put it into a vast pit system, a cistern system. I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I saw some of these cisterns that they have. It's a phenomenal system that they had because they didn't have rain during the summer months, so they needed to have water stored from the summer months to last them all through this, for the winter months to last them all through the summer months. So they had this extensive system of boros. So in and this ox fell in there, and it made it not potable water, made it not good drinking water. The ox was swimming in their drinking water. The ox fell into their drinking water, and he destroyed their drinking water. So the owner of the ox is going to be chayav to pay for the damage that he did to the owner's drinking water. Likewise, ha'yo'aviv o'bino l'socho, if in fact there was the father of the Baal HaBayis or the son of the Baal HaBayis that was in this pit for whatever the reason, and the ox fell on him, ha'yo'aviv o'bino l'socho, and Nebuch, he killed them. So therefore, mishalem es ha'kofer, the owner of this ox that had no right to be there, has to go and pay the kofer damages that we have been discussing in the previous mesechta. Rashi tells us that there are two questions over here that the Gemara will have to answer. Mishalem es ha'kofer, so it says, b'gemara parich ha'tamhu, so this is a tam, so why is there a kofer penalty? As we had just learned in the preceding mesechta, there is no penalty of kofer by a tam. There's only a penalty of kofer by a muad. That's question number one. And why bedavka did it have to be aviv o bino l'socho? Why didn't it just be any other person? Wouldn't the same din of kofer apply? So Rashi says there are two questions over here that the Gemara will have to answer. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see that when we get to the Gemara. Not today's shir, but in tomorrow's shir, Mitzvah Hashem. Now, the din is that the owner of the ox that didn't have a right to be there has to pay this kofer. However, if he had the right to bring his ox in there, im hichnias birishus, so then Baal HaChatzar chayiv. Then the Baal HaChatzar is going to be chayiv. And again, we'll have to wait till we get to the Gemara to see what exactly we're talking about that he would be chayiv for. That is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma in all three of these scenarios. Along comes Rabbi Omer Yehuda Nasi says, Bekulon eino chayiv. In all of these scenarios, the Baal HaBayis is not going to be chayiv, even though he gave permission for the other person to go into his yard with either the pots or with the fruits or with his ox, unless Achi Kabbalah of Lishmar, until he specifically stated, and I accept myself obligation to go and protect your either pots, fruits, or shore. If he didn't, then all Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi is saying is, you have permission to go there, but buyer beware. It's your problem. If you want to go there, you have to watch your ox. I give you permission to go there. So now there's a certain level of allowance to what you're doing, but I take no responsibility to go and protect your pots, your fruits, or your ox. And therefore, unless he specifically states, Achi Kabbalah Lishmar, so then the Baal HaBayis will not be chayv. That's Rebbe's opinion. Again, we'll see this more in the Shia, but not today, in tomorrow's Shia in the Gemara. Okay, Gemara starts off and tells us, Taima, the reason why the Kador or the owner of the fruits or the ox that was brought in there without permission, why they have to go and pay for damage that they caused is because Shelo Rishus, because they didn't come in with the Shus. The implication, however, is, Ho Rishus, if they had permission, so then Lo Mechayev Bal Kederos Beniske Behemto De Bal Chotzer, then the owner of the Kederos, the owner of the fruit, the owner of the ox would not be Chayev for any damage that they're either kadorim, their pots, or the fruits, or the ox had caused. Below Amrinan, and we don't say, Kabuli Kabil Baal Kederos Nitiruso De Behemto De Baal Chotzer. Because we don't say, but just because they were given permission to go and bring their items in there, so we don't say that Kaibule Kabil Bal Kederos Nitiruso de Behemto de Bal Chotzer, because we don't say that the owner of the pots has basically accepted responsibility to guard the animal from being damaged by the pots. Unless you specifically state that you're accepting responsibility, then you don't accept responsibility. So therefore, we have this implication that if he had permission to bring them there, then he wouldn't be chayav lo mechayav bal kederos b'niske behemto de bal chotzer. Now, whose opinion is that? That's the opinion of Rebbe here that we had in the Sefer of the Mishnah. Rebbe Yomer b'kulin lo chayav ashi kavul lo lishmar. The Omer called b'stoma that the stam position is that lo kibel aleh niturasa. It's only if you specified ashi kavul lo lishmar that you be chayav. So therefore, the Reisha is in fact dealing with a scenario that is the opinion of Rebbe. But then Eima Sefer, look at the next part of the Mishnah. It said, Im hichlis birushus balachotze chayiv. We said if you did have permission to go and bring your pots or your fruit or your ox in there, so then the balachotze chayiv. Now, that seems to imply an automatic implication that once you're given permission, so even though you didn't accept specifically lishmar, the stam position is that you have accepted shmira. So also in the Rabbanan, this appears to be the opinion of the Rabbanan, the Amre, that even bistama, even in the stam situation, without specifying, I accept upon myself shmira, bistama nami, kabule kabil ale nitirusa, that you have accepted upon yourself. So the ratio, the implication is that it's Rebbe. The middle part of the Mishnah, that implication is that it's the Rabbanan opinion. And then Vasu, at the end of the Mishnah, we say, Rebbe Omer b'kulin enu chayav ashikabu lo bala bayis lishmar. That goes back again to being the opinion of Rebbe. So you have somewhat of a paradox here. Ratio would say for Rebbe, umetziyasa the Rabbanan, that you have here an unnamed Mishnah without specifically specifying that it's different Tanoim, the Reisha, and really the Mitzuyusa, the Reisha and the middle part, they're two different opinions, but it doesn't mention different names. So, okay, the last part, it does mention Rebbe's name, but the bottom line is the Reisha and the Tol Sefer, those are the opinion of Rebbe, and the Mitzuyusa, that's the opinion of the Rabbanan. That's a very unusual situation. And Omer Rebzera says, you're 100% right. Tavra, it smashes it. It is totally broken. As Rashi says, Kosha Hadadi, Reisha V'Seifa. The Reisha and the Mitzuyusa, the part that comes next, so that cannot be the same author. Tavra, it's smashed. It's a kasha. Mishu Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. The author of the Reisha cannot be the same author of the Mitzuyusa because they imply two different opinions. The Reisha is the opinion of Rebbe, and the Mitzuyusa is the opinion of the Chachamim. So Reisha is that the owner, unless he specifies, actually Kabbal of Lishmar doesn't have any Shmir responsibilities, but the middle part, the Mitzuyusa, that seems to go like the Chachamim. They say the Stam position is that you do accept upon yourself Nitirusa. Kabuli Kabil Alei Nitirusa Bistama in the Stam situation. So Rav Zera says there's no way you can reconcile the two. On the other hand, Rava says you can reconcile the two. Rava Amar, in fact, the entire Mishnah, up until the end where it says Rebbe, so the Reisha and the Mitzuyusa is in fact Kula Rabbanan. Both of them are the opinion of the Rabbanan. Why then in the case where he had permission, do we say that the implication is that you would not be Chayiv, which goes again like Rebbe, the stam position is you would not be Chayiv, or Berishus, Shmiras Kederos Kibel Olav Baal HaChotzer. When he had permission there, so the Baal HaBayis not only gave him permission, but he in fact accepted upon himself that he would go and take responsibility for those Keros. Vafilu Nishbu Beruach, and this would occur not only if his own property had damaged them, but even if it was damaged by a wind. So he said, yeah, you can put your Kederos there, and I'll make sure they're stacked appropriately. I'll make sure that they're protected even from the wind, never mind from my animals. But that is the Baal HaBayis. When the Baal HaBayis gave him permission, so it was as if he had specifically stated, I will take upon myself responsibility for any damage that will occur to your Kederos. But the Baal Kederos, he didn't automatically accept to take any responsibility that his Kederos caused to the animal, because he said, you're watching them, and therefore they're your responsibility, they're no longer my responsibility. And therefore there's a distinction over here, according to Rava, between who is responsible in this situation. By giving permission to the Baal Kadar, to the owner of the pots, to go and put his pots there, he's essentially relieved the Baal Kador, the owner of the pots, to have any responsibility for his pots anymore. And therefore, if they cause damage to the animal in that situation of the owner, so the Baal Kador is not responsible. But anything happens to the pots, the owner, the Baal HaBayis, had taken upon himself responsibility. The stam position is like the Rabbanan, that you do take upon yourself responsibility when you give permission. So again, the Baal HaBayis is going to be chayef for everything that happens to these pots, whereas the Baal Kadarim, the owner of these pots, is not going to be chayef for anything because he gave it over, so to say, the Shmira is given over to the Baal HaBayis. So that's how you can explain the Reisha and the Metziusa according to the Rabbanan. And of course, the Sefer comes in with saying, Rabbi He, that's a different opinion. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, "Hichdis peirosov lechatzar Baal HaBayis." If you in fact brought your peiros into the chatzar of the Baal HaBayis, uchulei, so then, if you did it without permission, so then the Baal HaBayis is not responsible for anything. And in fact, the damages that occur, so the owner of the pots, the owner of the fruits, the owner of the shor, he's going to be chayef for any damages that he causes to the animal of the Baal HaBayis. Now, Rav qualifies this rule, and he says, Amar Rav, lo shanu, when we say that the owner, let's say, of the fruits is chayev to go and pay for any damages that the fruits cause to the owner of the house is ox, so lo shanu, we only said that ela shehuch l'kobahen. Here's where I mentioned to the Mishnah, there's two opinions. So Rav's opinion is, it's only if he slips, if the owner of the field, the owner of that house, his ox slips on those fruits that were brought in there, so then, in that situation, the owner of those fruits is going to be chayev. However, avol ochla, but if the ox or the Baal HaBayis ate those fruits, and seemingly he ate too much of them, and as a result, he died of overeating, so then potter, he in fact would not be responsible. The owner of the fruits would not be responsible. Why? Because Rav says, havalah shelo tocha, because it was the animal's own fault, so to say, that it overate. He shouldn't have gone and eaten that much fruit, that he would die, so to say, from eating too much fruit. So it's the animal that caused that damage. When the animal slipped and got injured in that way, so an animal's allowed to walk over there, and we don't expect the animal to not slip when it slips on something. But to overeat, that's something that the animal does control, and as a result, the owner of the fruit wouldn't be chayef for overeating. That is the opinion of Rav. So as Rashi says, that which we say over here, lo shanu hadi katani im husko behen balaper is chayev. The next Rashi says only when he slipped on them. Avol ochla yoser midayu meze, it overate and it died. So then that is not the fault of the owner of the fruits. He can say to the owner of the house, your ox shouldn't have eaten those fruits. That is Rav's opinion. Rav Sheshes can't believe this. Om Rav Sheshes, Amina, I said, ki noyim v'shochiv Rav, Om Al Hoshmaisa. Rav is such a great Talmud Chacham. There's no way he could have said this if he was fully awake. So obviously, he must have said this when he was half asleep. In other words, there's no way that Rav is right. And Rav Sheshes was saying this in a somewhat polite way to say that there's no way Rav could have said this because how could that possibly be? Because the Tanya, we're learning the Braisa, Hanosein Sam HaMobis of Nei Behemas Chavero. If you go put poison in front of your fellow's animal, your friend's animal, and the animal eats it, and the animal dies. So that's a groma binizokin. You didn't directly kill it. You didn't force feed the poison into the animal. You didn't inject the poison into the animal. You put the poison there, and the animal went and ate it. So that's called groma binizokin. So groma binizokin is part of bidini adam, v'chai bidini shemayim. But bottom line is, you really did this. So therefore, if you want to be yotzi midi shemayim, so you have to go pay the guy for this animal. But a basin can't go force you to go pay. Part of bidini adam, chai bidini shemayim, because it's groma binizokin. Now, that's because sam mavis hu. That's because it was poison. And the lo avidu de ochla, and the animal shouldn't go and eat poison. Implication being, avo peros, if the animal went and ate peros, and overate peros, the avidu de ochla, which it normally does eat, so then, even bidei adam nami mechayev, if you put so much fruit in front of the other guy's animal, and it ate all of those fruits, and then it died because it overate, you would be chayev. Now, Vamai, according to Rav, Rav Sheshes says, have your law, shelo tocha. The guy should be able to say, hey, you shouldn't have eaten that much fruit. It's your own animal's fault that it ate so much fruit and it died. That's not my fault. If Rav was correct, so then this Brisa should have said that even if it was peros, not only if it was sam hamavas, even if it was peros that the animal ate, you could still argue it should be part of bidini adam, because only a grumman is talking. You could say, have your law, shelo tocha. Your animal shouldn't have eaten it. So kasha and Rav. So Rav would say, no, it's not a kasha me. Amre, who I didn't feel with peros nami. No, the same din would apply even in regards to peros. That in fact, he would be potter bidei adam. It's not that he's chay bidei adam. He would be potter bidei adam even for overeating the peros because have your law shlo tocha, because he could say you shouldn't eat it. So why did it mention specifically the case of poison? because even in the case of peros, part of me dini odom chayv dini shemayim. So why did Bedavka give the case of the poison? It should have given the case of eating anything. So the chiddush of the case of the poison, hakamashul. Why did he give us the case of the poison? The afilu sam hamavis nami the lo avidu the ochlo chayv dini shemayim. That you might have said, well, listen, it's poison. The animal knows intuitively, intrinsically, it just knows it doesn't eat that stuff. Animals know that's poison, and therefore one might have said that not only are you part of me dini odom, but you'd even be part of Medina Shamayim. So that's why the Chiddush is that it told us the case of Sama Mavis. But certainly, whether it ate Sama Mavis or whether it ate regular fruits, of course you would be part of Medina Yodim because Grom and Izak is part of. But in both cases, in the Chiddush is even by the poison, you would be Chai Medina Shamayim. And therefore, this Brisa is perfectly in accord with Rav. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two, we buy his name or Sam Hamavis Nami, even the Sam Hamavis was fruit. It was Biaf Rezata, the Hainu Peri. As Rashi says, the Af Rezata is Asev the Avido Lemichli. It's a grass that the animals normally eat. However, who Sam Hamavis Lema, but it's dangerous for the animal to eat this. And therefore, it was talking about Peris. It was talking about fruit. And therefore, even though you put it there, it's a Grom and Nizok in your pot, be they are them, but you be Chai, be Dinah Shemaim. Therefore, there's no Kash on Ra from this price. Try again. Meisve, we ask Rav from the following Brisa. It says, Hoyisho shenichlusa litchon chitim etzel balabayis shlo rishos. A woman went to use the grinding wheat machine, the hand grinder of her neighbor, without permission. So she brings in her wheat into the neighbor's house without permission, and v'achalosa behemto shbalabayis, and the animal of the balabayis eats up all the wheat. So in this situation, the balabayis potu. He doesn't have to go pay for the wheat that his animal ate up. But if the animal was hurt, imhuska, if the balabais' animal ate the wheat and got damaged by the wheat, it died, it got sick, it needed a veterinarian bill, or it lost the animal, it got killed because it overate. So then chayevis, this woman who brought in the wheat without permission, is in fact chayevis been based in. So therefore, you see, clearly not like Rav. Vamai, according to Rav, Neymar, the woman should be able to taina, have a law, shelo tocha, your animal shouldn't have eaten it, and therefore I should be part of bidini yadam. But you see here that you're chai bidini yadam, so kash on Rav. So again, Rav would say very simply, Amrei, Rav would answer, umi adifa mimesisim. This is the same exact case as our Mishnah. So why would the answer in our Mishnah be different than the answer that we're giving over here in the Brisa? In the Mishnah we said, okimno shuhuchlako behen. It wasn't talking about eating them in the Mishnah. We were talking about that the animal slipped on them. And that's why you're chayiv. So to over here in the Brisa, you know what happened? The animal slipped on the wheat and got damaged. Not that it ate it, because if it ate it, so Rav would say, Nemo, have a law, shalo tocha. The woman could tinda. Listen, your animal shouldn't have eaten so much. You shouldn't have overeaten. It's your own animal's fault to cause the damage. Slipping, that's my fault, so to say. And therefore, I'm chayav to pay for the damages that resulted in your animal from slipping on the produce, from slipping on this wheat, or slipping in the Mishnah on the fruit. But here, that it overate, just like in the Mishnah, the woman could tinda, don't eat it. It's your own fault that you ate it, and you would be, in fact, the woman would be Petura. We said in the Mishnah that it's talking about slipping on them, so to hear in the Brisa, it's talking about slipping on them. No, this is such an obvious teretz, just like we answered in the Mishnah, it's only slipping and not eating. So to the Brisa is only slipping and not eating, so Udukari law, my Kari law. The guy that asked this question on Rav, what was he thinking? After all, we answered this way in the Mishnah, why would you assume that you don't answer the same way in the Brisa? So I says, because I'm a law, because the person who asked this question would say, no, Bishlam Masnisin, look at the words of the Mishnah very carefully. The words of the Mishnah said, Ketani im huska bahen, if the animal was harmed, that was damaged by the produce, bahen, implying shuhuk l'ko behenu. It doesn't mention anything about eating it. It just says it was damaged by them, implying that it was slipping. But in the Brisa, look at the language, it's a little bit different. Aval hocha, in the Brisa, ketani, the words in the Brisa said, only the imhuska. It doesn't say imhuska bahen. So in the Brisa, ketani imhuska, v'lo ketani imhuska bahen. And therefore, achil hugditani, the Brisa, a little bit more sounds like it's talking about eating than the Mishnah that said imhuska bahen. The Brisa, it didn't say the word bahen. So maybe that's why the person who asked the question says that the Mishnah should be a din of only slipping, but the Brisa could be huska in any way, not bahen, not by slipping on them. No, what would Rav say to that? V'idach, amalach, lo shnah. So Rav would say, no, there's no difference between huska and huska behen. Both of them talking about slipping and not talking about eating, because in regards to eating, the person who owns the fruits, the woman who owns the wheat, could say, neighbor, have a law, shalot tocha. Your own animal caused this, and therefore I'm potter. Try again. Tekasha on Rav. Toshma, learn from the following brisa. Hichnis shoru lechatzar balabayis lo rishus. If a person brought a shor into his friend's yard, into his friend's house without permission, the ochal chitid, and the ox that was brought there without permission, went and ate the owner's wheat, so the hitris umes, and it developed a bad diarrhea. The hitris means that it was flowing out of it, the excrement, so and dies, umes, so potter. So the owner of the wheat is potter. However, the imhichnis birushos, if the ox had permission to be brought into the balabais's yard, and then it ate all this wheat and died, then, in fact, the owner of that yard, the owner of that wheat, is in fact going to be chayiv. But how come, according to Rav, Habolei Shelo Yochal, the owner, the balabais of the house and of the wheat, should be able to say to the owner of the ox, listen, your ox shouldn't have eaten. Your ox damaged itself, and therefore it's a grub and he's zokin, and I'm part to be the yard. So Amar Rava, Rava says, no, that's not a good proof. Rava answers on behalf of Rav. Birishus, Ashalo, Birishus, Karamis. You're asking us a question from the case of Rishus with permission over here in the Brisa to the case of the Mishnah where it was without permission. The two cases are different. You're asking over here, Birishus, Ashalo, Birishus, Karamis. You're asking from the case where he had permission to the case where he doesn't have permission. So Birishus, when the person had permission to bring his ox into the Balabais' yard, so Shmiras Sharo Kibel Alav. So the Stam position, like the Chachamim, is that he accepted upon himself to watch that ox. And therefore, Vafilu Chonak is Atzmo, even if the ox went and did damage to itself, this was like the example we gave before. Even if the wind blew the pots down, so then the owner of the yard had accepted responsibility for the pots, for the fruit, for the ox. And therefore, the stand position is like the Rabbanon, that afilu chonak esatzbo, that's why you're chayiv. So you can't say, well, you shouldn't have eaten it. I'm responsible for anything that happens, whether it eats, it doesn't eat. I took responsibility by letting you bring your ox into my yard. I took responsibility for your ox. But in the case of not having permission to go in there, so then the owner never assumed responsibility. He didn't give you permission to come there. And therefore, in that situation, if the animal goes and eats the wheat, then the owner can say, listen, you should not have eaten this wheat. It's your own problem. And therefore, Rav is perfectly good in this situation by saying, lo yochal, your ox ate it. Don't blame me. Your ox ate it. And therefore, he was there without permission. I didn't accept any responsibility. And therefore, your ox caused itself to have damage, and I'm not responsible in any way. Okay, so we don't slug up Rav. Rav, in fact, Rav Sheshes has claimed that Rav was half asleep when he said it. So we can't slug up Rav. It's a perfectly valid sheet. Now the Gemara asks, Ibarlu, they ask the following Shiloh, Hecho de Kabil Alei Netiruso, where in fact the Balabais did accept upon himself responsibility for anything that was in his Rishus. Mao, what is the halacha? How far do we say that he is Chayev? The Nafshehu de Kabil Alei, do we say that he accepted upon himself not to go and damage the item that was brought in there? So he will be responsible to make sure that he or his property doesn't go and damage the item that he was allowing into his yard. The Nafshehu, the Kabbalah, he accepted that he will not cause, or his property will not cause damage on that item. Or do we say, oh, Dilma, no, he accepted total responsibility. Afilu Nitirusa, the Alma Kabbalah, that no matter what happened, even if the wind comes and breaks it, nothing to do with him. He accepted responsibility. In other words, how far do we say when he accepted responsibility to watch the animal, do we go? Do we say he accepted responsibility to the extent that he or his own property will not damage the animal or the item that was brought in there with Rishus? But if a natural accident happens to it, he never accepted upon himself responsibility for that. Or do you say, no, he totally accepted upon himself responsibility for anything that happens to that person. He gave him permission to bring it there. He says, I take full responsibility. So what's the answer? Toshma, bring a raya from the following. The Tani, we learn the following brisa. Rav Yehuda bar Simon benizokin de Beikarna. This brisa was learned by Rav Yehuda bar Simon that was learned from the brisas that were in the Beis Medrash of Karna. What was this brisa? Hichnis perosov l'chatzar balabayis lo b'shus. If a person brought his fruits into the balabayis' yard without rishus, and then ubor shor mimokom acher v'yacholim, and a shor comes from someplace else and goes and eats those fruits. So then, potter. In that situation, the balabayis is going to be potter from going and having to pay for any liability from the fruits because he didn't give the guy permission to bring them there. But if the person had permission to bring his fruits into the Balabais' yard, and then an ox comes from someplace else, not the Balabais' ox, an ox comes from someplace else and eats those fruits, chayiv, what do you see? In this situation, isn't he chayiv for the damages that occurred from somebody else other than from his property. In other words, he took upon himself afilu l'tirus. So the alma kibal alei, doesn't it mean man patru man chayev? Lav, doesn't it mean patru bal chotzer the chayev bal chotzer? Is it both cases talking about that the without permission the bal chotzer is patru and with permission the bal chotzer is chayev even for somebody else's ox? So asked and answered, he accepted upon himself total shmira afilu l'tirus of the alma kibal alei. Someone says, lo, lav dafka. Amre, you could answer as follows. Lo, when we say potter, it meant the Baal Hashar is potter. That when the person brought it there without rishus, and another animal ate it there, so not only the Baal HaChatz, certainly not Chayim, because he had no permission to bring it there, but even the other person's ox, the owner of that other ox that came there and ate it, is also potter. But if it was brought there with permission, so then the Chayev Baal HaShar, then the owner of the ox that ate it is Chayev, but not the Baal HaChatzer. And therefore, you can't bring a Zariah that he accepted upon himself Shmira, it means he accepted upon himself total Shmira. I feel in Tirus of the Amo Kabbalah. No, maybe the Nafshehu the Kabbalah. He only accepted his own damages upon himself. If his own property or he himself damaged it, then he accepted upon himself Shmira. But if somebody else came along, another ox comes along and eats it, so then the other ox is going to be chayev for eating the person's produce because he had a right to keep them over there. So the other ox's owner would be chayev in that situation, but the Baal HaBayis would not be chayev. More questions that says, really? Be Baal HaShar, and we turn to Mem Chesu and Aleph. If it's the Baal HaShar that you're telling me is chayev in this situation and not the Baal HaBayis, so then my brishus, my shlo brishus ika. So then what difference does it make if he brought it there with permission or he brought it there without permission? Shouldn't the Baal HaShar be chayev no matter what? So the Gemara says, Amri, no. When you say that he had permission to bring the fruit in there, birishus, so then, havilon shein birishus hanizak. So this is a case of eating in the rishus of the nizak. And eating the rishus of the nizak, bishein birishus hanizak chayevis. An animal is not allowed to go and eat in the rishus of the nizak. So if it's a private area and the ox didn't have rights to be there, so then if you go and eat something there, even though it's normal for the animal to eat, shein birishus hanizak yichayev. Oh, that's why the Baal HaShar in that situation would be chayev, because the other guy had permission to bring it there. However, shlo b'rishus, when the other guy didn't have permission to bring his food there, so then it's like, habilo shein b'rishus harabim. It's like you left food in the rishus harabim. Well, duh. The animals are going to eat the food in the rishus harabim, and therefore, shein b'rishus harabim is p'tura. So this is analogous now to shein b'rishus harabim. And that's why, without permission, the Baal HaShar is potter. But with permission, it's like the rishus of the nizak, and the Baal HaShar is going to be chayv. So therefore, we don't have an answer yet to our question. When you accept upon yourself responsibility, how much responsibility did you accept upon yourself? Total or no, only that your own property, you yourself would not go and damage that item. Try again. Toshma, the following brisa. Hichli shor lechotz of Baal HaBayis shlo b'rishus. In the case of where the person brought his ox into the Baal HaBayis' yard without permission, and then ubo shor mimokom acher unugocho, and a shor came from someplace else and gored this ox that was there without permission, potter, the person is potter. Again, who is potter? We'll see in a second. However, in Hichlis Berushos, it was brought in with permission. The ox had permission to be in this Baal HaBayis' yard, then chayev. And another ox came along and gored it, chayev. So again, the first opinion is, man potter, man chayev. Who is potter, who's chayev? Doesn't it mean lav potter Baal HaChatzer, v'chayev Baal HaChatzer? When he's potter because he didn't have permission, so the Baal HaChatzer is potter. But when we said you're chayev, when the other ox, the third ox, gored, so then the Baal HaChatzer is chayev. Oh, he accepted upon himself nitirus or shleima, a complete full watching. Oh, asked and answered. Of course, it says again, lo, now lav dafka. When we said potter Baal HaShar, and when we said chayev, it meant Baal HaShar. It meant that in the case where he had permission to bring his ox in there, then the Baal HaShar is going to be chayev. The other ox that didn't have permission to be there is going to be chayev. And when we said that he's potter, the Baal HaShar is potter, is because the ox that was damaged had no right to be there. And this is exactly analogous to what we just said a moment ago in terms of the food. We have to explain why first. So, ihachi, if this is true, my b'shus, my shlo b'shus, ika, what difference should it make whether the ox was there that got gored with permission or without permission? The third party, the other ox, gored it. He should be chayev no matter what. Score says, no, Amrei, Hamani, who does this go like? This goes like the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. This is the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon we had early in the Masechta that says, Mishuna Karen b'chatzar anizak nezek sholem mishalim. That when an unusual type of Karen damage occurs in the chatzar of the nizak, we don't say for Karen, you normally pay as a tam chatzi nezek. Here, if it was in the chatzar of the nizak, you have to go and pay nezek sholem. Now, when the ox gored over here, this is normally, if it's a tam, you'd only have to pay chatzi nezek. But if it's in the rishus of the nizak, Then Rabbi Tarfon says you have to pay full nezek. So therefore, we now understand. Biri shows when the ox had permission to be there, and then it's gored by the third party ox. So then, havilon keren b'chatzar nizak. This is an exact case of keren in the chatzar of the nizak, which according to Rabbi Tarfon, you don't pay chatzin nezek umishalim nezek shalim. Oh, that's what it means. The baal hashor is chayev. Shalobir shows, but when he didn't have right to be there, so then. Havilon Karen Shusar Rabim. So this is Karen Shusar Rabim. Velo Mishalma El Chatzin Nezek. When he says that he's potter, it means he's potter from Nezek Shalem, but he will have to pay Chatzin Nezek. So the Baal Hashor of the damaging shore, the Mazik Shor, so that owner is going to be the Chayiv Chatzin Nezek, which we call potter because it's potter from Nezek Shalem. But when he had permission, the ox that was gored had permission to be there, so then this is a Nezek that is Mishuneh. Mishuna Kerem Mechatzor Nizak, Nezek Sholem Mishalem. That's what it means when it says the Baal Hashor is Chayev. Chayev Nezek Sholem. Even though it's a short time, according to the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Now, there's two dots over here, but we're still within the same sugya, so let's go a little bit further and just do one more story. So, Hay Itza, the Osa Lenefa Bahu Besa. There was a certain woman who went into her neighbor's house to go and bake bread over there. Now, also, barcha de more de besa, and a barcha is a goat, Rashi tells us. A goat comes along and goes and eats this dough that the other woman had brought into this house to go and bake. Achla lalisha, this goat ate the dough. Chavil, it got damaged by it. Umes, and it died. Right? Rashi says chavil means nischamim. It got heated up, and somehow that caused it to die. Now, who's chayav to pay in this situation? So chayav Rava. Rava said, "Lishalume deme barcha." Rava said to the woman that she has to go and pay. She brought her dough into this house and caused the damage to the goat. So therefore, she has to go pay for the goat. Now, lemo pliga adarav. Maybe this goes against what Rav said. The Omer Rav. Rav said, "Havi lo shelo tochal." This goes back to what we learned before. Rav said, in a situation where the animal overeats, the animal is causing its own death, its own damage. And therefore, this woman who brought in the dough should be able to say to the owner of the house, listen, your animal shouldn't have eaten it. Have your law shalo tochal. So this seems to be a kashan rav if you're saying that the woman has to go and pay. So Gemara says, no, again, rav is okay. Omri, hachi hashta. How is this comparable? In the case, Hasam Shelo Berishus, Rav had said that you can say Havi Lo Shelo Tochal because there was no responsibility. Lo Kibel Ale Nitirusa. The person who brought it in, he never accepted upon himself the responsibility of guarding the Balabais' animal. And therefore, in that situation, without permission, Rav can say, your animal shouldn't have eaten it. But Hachav Rishus, here, this woman was baking. She had permission to go into this house and bake the bread over there. And now the goat goes and eats it. So the woman had basically accepted upon herself responsibility not to go and feed that person's goat. And therefore, Kabil Alei Nitirusa, it's as if she accepted upon herself responsibility. And therefore, she can't say, well, your animal shouldn't have eaten it. She'd accept upon herself responsibility, make sure the animal doesn't eat it. So Gemara says, but we just had a case a minute ago where the woman brought her grain in to use the grinding machine of the owner without permission. And in that situation, the animal that ate that grain, the person is potter from having to pay for it. And not only does he not have to pay for the grain that his animal ate, but if his animal got hurt, in fact, would be chayeves. Now, taima shlo brishus. Wasn't that case that she didn't have permission to go and bring into the house that grain to go and grind it? And that implies Hab Rishus Potter, that if it had been with Rishus, then she would in fact be Potter. But according to what we just said, if she had permission to bring it there, she's accepting upon herself responsibility to go and watch the other animal from getting hurt. But here you see that that's not true. So again, the Gemara makes a distinction between the grain and between the dough. Amri. Litchon chitim, when the woman goes there to go and grind her grain, so kiven the lo boy, it's niyus midi, since when you're grinding grain, you don't need to have any tznius, so there's nothing, she's not opening up her arms to grind the grain, she just has to turn the grinding machine, lo boy misalki marvosa, dechotzer nafshayu. So the owner, when this woman comes in there, is not going to run away, because she's not doing something that's not tznius. So the owner will stay there in his yard, and therefore, balei didei, rami nitirusa, and therefore he has to watch his own animal. However, lemeifa, when the woman comes to go and bake, when you're going to bake, you have to knead it. When you're kneading it, you have to roll up your sleeves. That's not tznius. Kiven the boy eats tznius, since she requires a little bit of tznius, a little bit of privacy. In other words, the owner of the house has to get out of there. So marvasa dechotzer misalki, the owner leaves, And therefore, Marbos the Chotz Masalki Nafshayu, he leaves, he gets away. Therefore, Hilkoch Alo Dido, Rami Nathru said, now, since the owner's not there, by default, she has the responsibility not to make sure that the owner's dog doesn't go and eat this dough. And if the animal does eat the dough, she can't say, oh, you shouldn't have eaten it. No, it was her responsibility to watch the animal from eating it, and therefore she would be mechuyeves in this situation. That's why there's a difference between the case of the tchina, which doesn't require tzniyah. So the owner's there, so he'll watch his own animal, and the woman can say, you should have watched your animal, as opposed to here, where the owner had to leave because she requires tzniyah. She has to roll up her sleeves. It wouldn't be proper if the male owner stayed over there. So therefore, in that situation, she is obligated to watch the animal, and she can't say, your animal shouldn't have eaten it. It was her responsibility to make sure he doesn't eat it, and therefore the animal eats it and gets hurt and dies, mischame mumeis, so then she would in fact be mechuyeves. Okay, this is a good break point. We're going to requote the Mishnah, so we'll stop over here and we'll pick this up tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day.